Nightly of this chus and honor again to hear from Mrs. Michal Horowitz, followed by Mrs. Amy Horowitz, and then Rebbetzin Malka Tauber. No further ado, Mrs. Horowitz.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special shiur with the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah. Tonight's shiur is entitled Pharaonic Egypt, Infanticide, and the Inexplicable Survival of Am Yisrael. So it's Parsha Shmos this coming week. We close the book of Bereishis, Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, and very exciting, always very exciting, to begin a new sefer. Every parsha is exciting, but to begin a new sefer, there's something so fresh and uncovering new insights. And in Sefer Shmos, in Parsha Shmos, Sefer Shmos, the appellation of Sefer Shmos is known as Sefer HaGu'ula. Each of the five books of Torah have a different appellation. Bereishis is known as Sefer Bereishis, Sefer HaYashar, and Sefer HaSimanim. Shmos is known as Sefer HaGu'ula. Vayikra is known as Torah's Kohanim. Bamidbar is Sefer HaPikudim. And Devarim is known as Mishnah Torah. It's a review, so to speak, of the Torah. And here we have the Sefer HaGula, which means that the topics in Sefer Shmos tell us about the process of redemption. So it's not only about the Shibud Mitzrayim, but there are many topics in Sefer Shmos that form a picture of redemption of Knesset Yisrael from their days of slavery in Egypt to after construction of the Mishkan. And the Sefer ends with the cloud of God resting over the Mishkan. It's a very exciting Sefer, and there's so much to learn. Parsha Shmos itself is a very beautiful, they're all beautiful and exciting parshios. An overview of what happens in Shmos itself is in Perek Aleph. We have the descent into the slavery. Things were great in the times of Yosef, and the brothers lived in Goshen, and Yosef was in charge, and he sustained the whole region. And as happens in every country of our exile, times change. Vayakam melech chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef. In Perek Beis, Moshe is born. In Perek Beis, he grows up. He runs away. He marries Tzipora by the well. Perek Gimel and Dalet find Moshe at the Sneh, where Hashem instructs him and chooses him to go free the Jews. Perek Hay finds Moshe back in Mitzrayim. And when he tells Paro to free the Jews, Paro makes the work even harder. And the Jews say, why did you come here? Since you came here, it got even worse. So there is a span of more than 80 years from the beginning of the Parsha Shmos until the end of Parsha Shmos. We are really going to be looking at the first Perek and understanding the inexplicable survival of Am Yisrael. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. Okay, this is Perek Aleph of the book of Shmos. Can you see my screen? Okay. These are the names of the children of Israel who are coming to Egypt. Yaakov, each man in his household came. And now it lists the tribes. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And all of those who came out of the loins of Yaakov was 70 souls. And Yosef was in Egypt. Vayamas Yosef, and Yosef died. V'chol achav, and all his brothers. V'chol hador hahu. Times change. Yosef died. His brothers died. That whole generation died. Ubnei Yisrael paru, and the children of Israel were fruitful. Vayishutzu, and they were teeming. Vayirbu, they were many. Vayatzmu, b'ma'od ma'od, they were very, very strong. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam, and the land became filled with them. And then, as would happen, times change. Vayakom melech chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef. Rav and Shmuel have a machlokes. Was he really a new king? Or did he just make himself like a new one, conveniently forget everything that Yosef did, and a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Yosef? And now he begins with the propaganda machine, and he says to his nation, here is the nation of Israel. They are so many, they are stronger than us. Havan ischak melo, let's be wise against them, lest they increase, and when war comes, they'll kick us out of the land. And now comes tax oppression, and they put upon them tax officers, financial oppression, in order to afflict them with their afflictions, and now comes slave labor. They have to build storage cities for Pharaoh, Pisom and Ramses. But something peculiar happens with Am Yisrael, the Kasher Yanu. Oh, so the more that the Egyptians afflicted the Israelites, Kain Yirbe, the Kain Yifrut, so they would become many, and so they would be fruitful and burst forth, Vayakutsu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. Enemy never ceases to be disgusted before the Jew. And the Egyptians worked the Israelites with slave labor, and they embittered their lives. Vayimaru es chayim ba'avod akasha. They embittered their lives with hard work, with bricks and with mortar, and all work of the field that they worked them with backbreaking labor. And now, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim l'mayalda, so Ivrios, the king of Egypt, said to the midwives of the Hebrews, so are they Shifra and Pua? That's what Rashi quotes. Some say they were Egyptian midwives who were overseers of the Hebrew. The name of one of them was Shifra, the name of the other one was Pua. We'll go with what Rashi says, but they were Miriam and Yochaveh. And the king of Egypt said, "Bialdechen esa ivrios, when you help the woman, when you birth the Jewish woman, when you birth the Hebrews, I should say, ureisen al ha'avnayim, you see on the birthing stone, imbenhu vahamiten oso." They don't make cover-ups. They want to kill the Jews. If it is a boy, from the word mate, you shall put him to death. Be'imbati v'chayev, she's a girl, she could live. The midwives were God-fearing, and they left the boys alive. And the king of Egypt calls the miados, and he says, "What did he do? Why did you leave them alive?" So they say to Pari, "You know, the Hebrews are not like the Egyptians; they're like animals." Back in Birka Yaakov and Perak Memtet of Bereishis, which we just had, they are all compared to animals. We, like animals, don't need a midwife, so we just come to them, and they've already given birth. And God was good to the miados. Vayirav ha'am. And the nation continued to increase. Vayatzmu ma'od, they became very strong. So there's something very peculiar about Knesset Yisrael, which is the more they afflict us, the stronger we grow. Who would have thought, who would have imagined that after Rachman al-Litzlan, the Shoah, the survivors, the Jews, those who had been kicked out of Arab lands would come together. I managed to establish a state. And look at it today, it's leading the world in vaccinations and medicine and technology and a startup nation. It's a home for all. Something peculiar happens to Knesset Israel, and the more that they oppress us, the stronger we become. So Paini Paro doesn't know what to do. And the last pasuk of Perek Aleph, and Paro commanded his whole nation, saying, "Call haben hayulod, every male that is born hayyora tashlichu into the river, v'chol habat tichayur, and every female she shall be saved." So Paro at this point has become very desperate, and the astrologers tell him, "Listen, the savior is being born, and it's a male." So he says, "Every male into the river," and this now includes his own people. This doesn't only refer to the Hebrew babies in Perek Tazayin, pasuk Tazayin. Verse 16, he says specifically about the Hebrews, "Bialdechan et ha'ivriel," when the Hebrew women are giving birth. Ayin Beis Reish is the same root as HBR. And you see on the birthing stone, if it is a boy, v'hamiten oto, you should put him to death. If it is a girl, she shall live. That's in regard to the Hebrews. But by Pasuk of Beis, he is now desperate. The children of Israel continue to increase. The midwives do not seem to be doing their job of putting the maybe boys to death. In fact, Rashi tells us they actively kept them alive. They would coo to the babies, poo, 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 shifra. They would beautify the babies. They gave them food. They gave them water. So not only did they not kill them, they weren't passive. They actively strove to save these babies. And Paro commands his whole nation, saying, "All males into the river." An unbelievable Medrash that I'm going to share with you now. I switched to Medrash Esther Rabbah. Can you see my screen? Yes, you can. Okay, so I switched to the Medrash here, and this is a very, very powerful Medrash. Medrash Esther Rabbah, as in Megillas Esther, right? It's not so far from Purim. I understand that Purim is February 26th, so it's a very interesting Medrash to keep in mind, okay? This is brought down in Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:23. Let's look at the Medrash together. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, "Arurim heim harasha'im." Listen carefully, it's very powerful. "Cursed are the wicked. Shehem misaskim be'etzer ra'al Yisrael." They come, they're busy with, they're asak, their practice, their way is a bad design, bad plots against Israel. Excuse me. "V'chol achad v'achad meyem yo'etz lefi darko, v'omer atzasi tovo me'atzascha." And each and every enemy of Israel designs a plan according to his way, and each one says to the previous one, "My way is better than your way." Now the Medrash is going to explain what we are talking about. So we have first established that the wicked are cursed because they come with bad plots against Israel. Everyone has his own path, and everyone says, "Atzati tova me'atzatcha." My way, my advice, my plan is better than your plan. Esav Amar, Esav HaRasha said, "Shota haya Kayan." Kayan was a fool. Shaharag et achiv b'chaye aviv. Kayan killed Hevel, Perek Dalet of Sefer Bereishis. They both offer an offering. Kayan is jealous because Hevel's offering is accepted and his, Kayan's, rejected flax, linen, growth of the field. So he kills his brother. But he killed his brother, Cain killed Hevel, but Adam and Chava were still alive, and they were still youthful back in the day when they lived to 930 years. They were youthful and fruitful for many centuries. So he kills his brother, Cain kills Hevel, but he forgot that his father could still have more children. And in fact, Adam and Chava have another child, Chase. So Esav comes along, and Esav looks at the first murder, and Esav says, Shota, haya Cain, Cain was a fool. Shaharag et achiv b'chay aviv. He killed his brother, and he wants to take over the world, but he killed his brother when his father was still alive. Lo haya yodeh sh'aviv para v'reveh. Doesn't he know that his father Adam has many centuries of living left? He died at the age of 930. His father is still going to be fruitful and multiply, and that's what happens. His father is Shais. Ani, says Esav, eni osakach. Remember, every Rasha says, my advice is better than your advice. Atzati tova ma'atzatcha. No, I'm not going to do the same mistake Cain did. Elo, ba, what am I going to do? And this pasuk appears at the end of Perach of Zion. After Yaakov takes the blessings and Esav is enraged, what does Esav say? Yikruvu yimei evel avi v'aharga es Yaakov achi. Oh, I have a good idea, said Esav. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to make the same mistake Cain made. Cain killed Hevel, but he left his father alive. So his father was able to go and have more children. So what did it help him? He wasn't able to own the whole world anyway. He wasn't able to have world dominion. He had a competition in Chase. I'm smarter than him, said Esav. I'm going to wait until my father dies. Yikruvu yimei evel avi. My father, Yitzchak, because Yitzchak's an old man. That's why he gave the brachos too. Well, Yaakov and Esav. When my father dies, v'ahargas Yaakov achi, then I'll kill my brother Yaakov, and I won't have any competition, and I won't have to worry about another brother, and I will rule. My father will be dead. I'll kill Yaakov. Paro Amar. Paro comes along. Now, how did Esav's plan work out? Not so well, because while he's waiting for Yitzchak to die, Yaakov runs away, and what does Yaakov end up doing? Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Ishu Beso Ba'u. What does Yaakov do? He runs away. He marries, in this order, Leah, Zilpah, Rachel, Bilha, and he fathers 13 children. He has 12 tribes and a daughter. So while they're waiting for Yitzchak to die, Yaakov is going, he has a whole nation. It didn't work. Paro Amar, Paro comes along and Paro says, Shota, Aya Esav. Esav was a fool, says Paro. Who's Paro? The Paro of Parsha Shmos, the Paro who said every male into the river. V'chilo haya yodea she'achiv para v'reve b'chaye aviv. How could Esav not have known that his brother was going to be fruitful and multiply while his father was still alive? So while you say, I'm waiting, in the meantime, your brother went and he had a whole nation. He had the Shiftekah, he had Dina. Dina's daughter ends up in Egypt. She marries Yosef. He is Ephraim and Manasseh. Look at the family. What are you doing? Ani, says Paro, Eni osakach. You know, I'm going to be much smarter, says Paro, than Cain, who left his father alive, who had Chase. I'm going to be much smarter than Esav, who left his brother alive while he's waiting for father to die, who goes and have a whole nation. No, I'm not going to do that. Ella, said Paro, Adiinun dikikin tachas while the baby is still under the bosom, the womb, the stomach of its mother, we will strangle the child. What did Paro say to the Mialdos of Ivrios in Pasuk Tesayin? Vatomer b'yaldechen es ha'ivrius u'ri'isen al ha'avnayim. You see it on the birthing stool. So they didn't go to the hospital, and they didn't have a water bath, and they didn't have a homeopathic birthing at home. There was some kind of birthing stool, and the woman would squat on the birthing stool, and the baby comes out. And Paro says the baby comes out, it emerges from the mother's womb at the very moment. I mean, think of what we're saying. Paro was no different than Nazi Germany. Yimach Shmam v'zichram. We sit down on Leil Seder, which is coming after Purim, which isn't so far away, and we talk about Avadi Mayinu, the Paro b'Mitzrayim. And it was a whole process of Shibud Mitzrayim. And what did Paro say? As the baby emerges, Uri Isan Alav Naim, you don't say Mazel Tov, it's a boy, or Mazel Tov, it's a girl. You say, boy, strangle them. If it's a girl, she can live. Oh, one second. I want to go back to my handout. So going back to the Medrash. So Paros said, no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be smarter than Cain. I'm going to be smarter than Esav. I'm going to be the best murderer since Adam. Since Cain. Ella, adi inun dikikin tachas kirese imoseyan ana mechanik lahun. The moment they emerge from the stomach of their mother, I will strangle that baby. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, kala bena yilad hayar tashlichu. So the Medrash quotes the last pasuk in Paragav, because at this point Parah becomes desperate, because the Bnei Yisrael are being fruitful and multiplying and teeming, and we're trying to kill them and it's not working. Haman Amar, Haman came along and said, Paro Shote Haya. So the art of perfecting the murder of the Jews has been handed down over the centuries, and each one thinks they're smarter. Haman Amar, and Haman comes along, and Haman says, Paro Shote Haya. Paro was a fool, says Haman. Why? Sha'amar, because Paro said, Kol ha-ben ha-yilad ha-yar tashichu. Paro Taka said, the astrologers told him, listen, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, the Savior of Israel, is about to be born. So you got to do something, Paro. So Paro's desperate. So Paro says, every male baby into the river. And this is a pattern that is very consistent with our enemy's behavior, which is that they're willing to give up their own lives if it means killing Jews. We see it in Palestinian suicide bombers, terrorists who are willing to lose their own lives if it means killing the Jews. We saw it in Nazi Germany when Gentiles who may have belonged to or were sympathetic to the Nazi party would tell on their own relatives for harboring Jews. So this last pasuk of Perek Av should not surprise us. It is a pattern that we have seen in our history, which is that the enemy is happy, in a sense I should use the word, or willing maybe to give up their own lives if it means killing the Jews. And that's what we see with Paro. He was saying now, every male born, meaning Hebrews and Egyptians, into the river. Sha'amar kol ben ha'yilad ha'yar tashlichu. Every male into the river. V'chilo haya yodea sha'habanos nisos paros v'ravos. Did Paro not know that you could throw every male into the river and you could break them, you could strangle their neck on the birthing stool? But didn't he know that the daughters would grow up, they would get married, they would be fruitful, they would multiply? What about the Bnei Yisrael? Why is he only concerned with the Bnei Yisrael, the males? Ani eini osekach. So Haman said, you know, I'm much smarter than Cain, who left his father alive when he killed his brother. I'm much smarter than Esav, who waited for his father to die, but his brother went and had a whole nation. I'm much smarter than Paro, who left the girls alive and only killed the males. Said Haman, ani eini osekach. By the way, Haman is a direct descendant from Esav. Haman ha'agagi mizera Amalek. Amalek is a grandson of Esav. Esav, Alifaz Amalek. So Haman said, I'm not going to do that. Ella, what will I do? Said Haman. What was the law that was given in Shushan Abira? To be ready, lahashmid, laharogu, laabed, es kol hayehudim. So Haman comes and Haman says, you know, I'm going to be smarter than everybody. What am I going to do? I am going to kill all of them. I won't have to contend with Knesset Yisrael. It's an unbelievably powerful medrash. What's also incredible is that we're still here. Like Lamaisa al Pitava, according to nature, the laws of nature, all these enemies, each one did better than the next. And then the ones that aren't listed in the Medrash, like the Spanish Inquisition and the Cossacks and the Crusaders. And here we are. And there is something inexplicable about Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The eternity of Israel shall not falter, not fail. Because each enemy tries to updo the other. It's a very powerful medrash, and nevertheless, Klal Yisrael is still here. So let's talk for a few minutes about why, in fact, Paro did not care about the girls. If he really wanted to kill Am Yisrael, why was he only concerned about the boy babies, and he wasn't concerned about the girl babies? Why? He specifically says, "V'im bati techayun," if she is a girl, she can live. So the Pshat and Rashi explains the reason is because he saw, that the Moshiach was going to be born, and it was a male. There was a male savior who would come and redeem the Jews. And in fact, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, right after his command, every baby into the river. Vayedech ish mi Beis Levi, vayikach et bat Levi, vatahar, vatele ben, vayar ki tofu, the house is filled with light. Immediately after every male into the river, Amram remarries Yochaved, and they have Moshe. So the Savior was born, which is exactly what Paro was concerned about. So even with every male being thrown into the river, his plans were thwarted. Excuse me. So let's offer two other alternative reasons as to why Paro was only concerned with the males and not the females, because it is atypical of our enemy. Generally, the enemy is concerned with killing Jews and not specifically gender-specific. The last terror victim in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem Yinkom Dama, Zichron Alevracha, was Esther Horgan. She was murdered already about, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, in the Shomron. She was 52 years old. When she was 10 years old, she visited Israel and she said, this is where I want to live. This is where I belong. Her youngest child is 13 years old. She made a bar mitzvah 3 months ago. She went hiking or jogging behind her home, and Arab terrorists found her, and with boulders, etc., she was murdered. So generally, they are happy to kill men and they're happy to kill women. But Paro is specifically concerned about the males. Why? Okay, so two reasons. One, okay, Rabbi Shai Shachter shared this verse with me and my husband. I still remember on the OU West Coast Convention. The OU West Coast Convention was there 2 years in a row. This year there wasn't any. It was either 2017 or 2018 in the fall. Okay, so I was asked to give another Divrei Torah Friday night at the Seuda. And after my Divrei Torah, I sat back down at the table. And we were at the same table as Rabbi Shachter. So he shared, it was related to my Divrei Torah. It was on Parshas Vayishlach, Vayishakehu, okay, when Esav and Yaakov meet. So Rabbi Shachter told us the following Dvar Torah, in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, why was Paro concerned about killing the boys, but he left the girls alive? So he said, Paro did not want Am Yisrael to survive. We sit down at the Leil HaSeder and we talk about how Paro was enslaved us and God had to take us out with great miracles. But Paro knew there were two tactics, two ways to destroy Am Yisrael. One is the physical way, which is called Ben Yilad HaYaritashichu, who break the baby's neck, like we saw in the Midrash and the Medrash, when it just emerges from the mother, crack the neck. Achanek, mechanek also, strangle the baby. That's physical decimation of Knesset Yisrael. But there's another way to decimate us, and that's spiritually. We have had both kinds of enemies in our history. And it's amazing how when you learn the beginning of Sefer Shemos properly, you really see the pattern of Galus, of all Galios, of all Shibud, embedded into the Torah. Paro was not such a kind man that he wanted to leave the girls alive. But he said, I will physically destroy the boys through murder into the river, and we will spiritually destroy the girls. How so? We will leave them alive. They will marry Egyptians. We will use them for promiscuous purposes. That'll be the end of Knesset Israel. Why should you waste a good woman if you could use her for your own purposes? So this, again, I did not see this brought down inside Bela Babich Rabbi. It was told to me by Rabbi Shai Shachter. And that's what he said. He told me to my husband at the table this Friday night. I still remember. And it's very powerful. So it's a beautiful way to understand what Paro's aims really were. Kill the males, physical destruction of Knesset Yisrael, spiritually decimate the remainder of the nation through the violation of the girls, and there will be no Knesset Yisrael. So that's one way to understand why he was only concerned with the boys, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Another way to understand why he was only concerned with murdering the boys. So I'll tell you, when I was preparing the shiur today, earlier today, I had my outline and then I sat down to put it together. I couldn't find the source inside. I thought I knew where it was and it was in the wrong place. I reached out to two different people. One who is a absolute baki in all of Shas. And he wasn't aware of where it was. He said, I'm sorry, I don't know. I reached out to someone else who's an expert in the Ramban, who doesn't live in my city. I reached out to someone else who's an expert on the Ramban. He didn't get back to me. The reason I'm telling you this is because if any listener, whether live or on Ma'ayu Torah, knows where this is in the Ramban, because I've taught it inside before, a number of years ago. Inside. I've seen inside, I've read inside, I've learned inside, I've taught inside. I can't find the source. So I'm putting this out there because if any listener knows where the Ramban writes this, please reach out to me. I'll be very indebted to you so that I can mark down where the source is in the shir notes. So I will have it, Be'ezrat Hashem, for myself and for future reference. So the Ramban, okay? So that is a bakasha for any listener who might be able to help me find where the Ramban brings us down. And again, earlier today, I did reach out to two Rabbanim to try and get the answer. One didn't get back to me yet and the other didn't know. Okay. But the Ramban teachers, and again, I've seen this inside. I'm definitely not making it up. The Ramban 100% teaches this. The Ramban, I don't know where. It's his commentary to Chumash, by the way. Right? The Ramban, somewhere in commentary to Chumash, where I thought it was him, quotes an opinion of the French Tosafists. Listen carefully. And it helps explain a lot of stories, narratives in Chumash. Quotes an opinion of the French Tosafists that before Matan Torah, okay, we're starting to say for Shemos, Matan Torah occurs in Parshas Yisro after Yetzias Mitzrayim, but the French Tosafists, as quoted by the Ramban, teach that prior to Matan Torah, being Jewish went after the father, what we would call patrilineal descent. Today, being Jewish goes after the mother. Rav Shimshon Pinkas Atzal, one of his forum, says the Jewish woman is the most important asset to Knesset Yisrael. I don't know exactly how this could happen, but he says the father could be the Gadol Dor. If the woman is not Jewish, it doesn't matter who the father is. I'm not talking about conversion. The child will not be born a Jew. So the Jewish woman, says Rav Shimshon Pinkas Atzal, is the greatest asset we have to Knesset Yisrael. Because of her, the Jewish nation will continue it to perpetuity. And in fact, we see that symbolized in this Miyaldos. They were God-fearing women. They were spiritually connected to God. They understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam is above them and not fair, and they didn't listen. And they gave chizik to the Jewish woman to keep having those babies under the most horrible of circumstances. But, says the Ramban, quoting the French Tosafist, prior to Matan Torah, listen carefully, being Jewish went after the father. This explains a lot of stories, okay, in Chumash. Who did the Shvatim marry exactly? Perek Lamed Ches of Bereishis. Vayered Yehuda me'et achav. He goes down, Yehuda, after the sale of Yosef, and he marries a Canaanite woman. Now there's different ways to explain it, and some say a twin. Rashi quotes it, a twin was born with each of the Shvatim. But the pshat is, who were they really marrying? But if they were marrying Canaanite woman, nobody was Jewish then. The only people who were Jewish, not even, they were Hebrews, like we saw in Perek Aleph, come from Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and his sons. They had to marry somebody. How could Yosef al Pipsha marry Osnes Bas Potipera, Kohen On Lo Leisha? She wasn't Jewish. Okay, the Medrash says she was the daughter of Dina, but Pshat, he married Kohen On Bas, the daughter of Osnes Bas, the daughter of Kohen On Lo Leisha. How could he do that? This week's Parsha. Parsha Shemos, who does Moshe marry at the well? He runs away. He saves these girls by the well, Perek Beis, chapter 2. Moshe Kear Avos Animahor of a pattern of meeting at the well. He goes to the well. He saves the girls who the shepherds are abusing. Their shepherds are stealing their water, chasing the girls away. Moshe saves them. The girls go home. The father says, you came home so quickly today. They say, oh, an Egyptian man saved us. Turns out it was Moshe himself. He ends up marrying Tzipporah. How could he marry Tzipporah? In fact, that's exactly what Korach said. Not Korach. Yeah, Korach and also Zimri, by the incident with Cosby. He says, Bas Yisro, mihi tir lecha. How could you marry, said Zimri, Bas Yisro, if you say, I cannot marry Cosby, the Midianite princess. Who did you marry, Moshe? What's the difference? Moshe married Tzipporah before Matan Torah. Zimri and Cosby happens, Parshas Balak Pinchas, after Matan Torah. So when we talk about Yehuda going down and marrying a Kenani, so when we talk about Yosef marrying the daughter of On Kohen, Asnas Bas Potipera, the daughter of Potipera, the priest of On, and when we talk about Moshe, Mer, and Tzipora, this week's parasha. Excuse me, these things happened before Matan Torah. And before Matan Torah, being Jewish was after patrilineal descent. So that helped us explain very easily why Paro was only concerned about the boys. Because Paro knew that the Hebrews go according to this law, being Jewish or continuing the lineage of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, continues after the male. So Paro said, why should I waste perfectly good girls? excuse me. Why should I waste perfectly good girls? We will kill the boys if being Jewish or being a Hebrew goes after the males, and there's no problem. We'll keep the girls. The future children, if the women marry Egyptians, will not be Jewish anyways. And then I accomplished my goal. I saved these beautiful women. I allow the Egyptians to marry them, and there will not be any Hebrews left anyway. So this Ramban helps us understand a lot of commentary and narrative in the Torah. If any listener knows where the Ramban writes us on Chumash, please reach out to me. I will be very indebted and very grateful to you. I will tell you, because I taught the Ramban inside, that the Ramban then disagrees with the French Tosafist. He disagrees. He doesn't agree with that Mahalach. However, the very fact that he quotes it gives a lot of validity. He wouldn't be quoting, you know, Mr. Joe Smith and Miss Jane Doe if the Pshat did not have any validity, the Ramban, if it was just Narishkai, and the Ramban would not go out of its way to quote that interpretation. The fact that he quotes it means that it has some validity. So again, if you know where it is brought down, please reach out to me. I will be very happy to read the source once again inside. Okay, so we see that the enemy strives mightily to destroy us. We understand three reasons why Paro only wanted to kill the boys. One, the astrologers told him the baby boy who is the Moshiach is about to be born. Second reason, Lubavitch Rebbe, he was going to physically decimate Knesset Yisrael through murdering the boys, and spiritually decimate Knesset Yisrael through giving the girls over to promiscuity, inappropriate business, etc. And finally, third reason, as we've explained, based on the Ramban, because this was pre-Matan Torah, and before the law-giving at Torah, being Jewish went after the father. So why waste all the girls? Keep half the nation and use them for our own purposes. So no matter what the enemy tries to do, we're still here. Let's go back to the Medrash. Okay. Can you see my screen? Paula, you're like one of the only women I could see. So can you see my screen? Yes, thank you. So we said, I'm so sorry, excuse me. So we already saw on the Medrash, it begins, and we're going to go to the end of days. I'm a Rabbi Levi. Let's just review from the beginning, not the whole thing inside, not what I taught already. Rabbi Levi says, cursed are the wicked because they are so busy with coming up with evil plots against Israel. And each and every Rasha, Yoetz Lefi Darko, has advice according to his way. And each and every Rasha says, you know, my advice is better than your advice. So Cain kills Havel, but he leaves Adam alive. Adam has Chase. So Esav comes along and Esav says, Cain was a Shoteh. He may have killed his brother, but his father had another child. I'm going to wait till father dies. Yikuvi may evil avi, when I go into avelus for my father, ahargas Yaakovachi. But while Esav is waiting for the father to die, Yitzchak, Yaakov has a whole nation. So along comes Paro, Sefer Shemos, Parsha Shemos. And Paro says, Esav was a shote. Didn't he know his brother could be fruitful and multiply in the life of his father? I'm not going to do that. While the baby is coming out from the womb, and we cannot fathom the previous generation. My four grandparents, Rahman al-Aslan, went through such experiences. My four grandparents were all survivors, but three of them were married before the war. They lost five between three of my grandparents. So between the three of them had five daughters. Three of them were married before the war. They had five daughters. It was a Rivka Bracha, a Golda, Ita Leah, and a Devorah. She was named after Parshas Peshach, my grandfather's daughter, Devorah. She was born in 1941. So Paro says, you know what I'm going to do? They're going to be emerging from the womb. Mechanic Lahon, strangle them on the birthing stone. If Salvechik speaks, a very difficult piece, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways, not safer of the Rav. He says that the Germans were particular about killing the babies, the intellectuals, the scholars, the rabbis, and the children, because they knew that the children represent the future. and what they want to do. And you see it here with Paro, and you see it with Haman, Minar v'ad Zakein, Taf v'nashim, that the enemy goes after the children, because the children represent the future. Soloveitchik says it was a favorite sport of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'zichram. And again, we're so many millennia removed from power that we don't appreciate the cruelty of Pharaoh, but he is the one who started the whole mass extermination campaign against the Hebrew nation. Soloveitchik says the Nazis would, in front of the mother, take the babies from the mother and throw the babies against the brick wall, the cement wall. Rav really writes this, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways. And the brain drippings would drip down the wall. So Paro said, I'm going to be smarter than Esav. We're going to be mechanic lo and strangle them the minute they emerge. Every baby should be murdered. Haman comes along and says, Paro was a shota. Every male into the river, but he forgot about the women. We have given three reasons. Rashi, Babavitch Rebbe has quoted to me Rabbi Shai Schechter, and the Ramban, and someone I hope, please Hashem, is going to email me where the Ramban writes this on Chumash. Three reasons why Paro wasn't concerned about the girls, but nevertheless, Haman says, I'm just going to get it all over with. Boys, girls, young, old, boobies, babies, just ruin them. And yet, the inexplicable survival of Am Yisrael, because we're still here. And even in the end of days, let's look at the end of the Medrash. Amazing. Va'af Gog u'Magog. So Gog u'Magog, I have my Medrash Art School Rabbi sitting right next to me. So Gog u'Magog. Okay, so I can't answer any questions on what's going to happen in the end of days. What's going to happen be Moshe Mashiach? What's going to happen in the final war? I have no idea. Halavai, we should be so zocha to the redemption. Hashem knows what will be. Even Yaakov Avinu, l'havdil. Bikesh l'galus asakeitz. Yaakov wanted to say what happened at the end. V'nistal kami meneshchina, and the Shechina departed. He wasn't allowed to say the end. So who are Gog and Magog? I'm quoting from the Art School footnote. Magog is the name of a nation that will launch a cataclysmic attack against Israel at the dawn of the Messianic age. They will be led by their king, Gog. This is known as the War of Gog u'Magog. We read about it on Sukkot. Okay? Gog u'Magog. Gog is the king, and his nation is Magog, and they will launch a cataclysmic attack against Israel at the dawn of the Messianic age. So our enemy will never give up. Va'af Gog u'Magog la'asid lavo. Excuse me. Even Gog, the king, u'Magog and his people, and the future. Lomar, they will say, Shotim hayu rishonim. Ha! The first ones were fools! Who were the first ones? Cain, Esav, Paro, Haman, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, Chalminsky massacres, the Cossacks, Stalin, Hitler, the terrorists who just killed, I said her name before. Horgan. Mrs. Horgan, they were all fools. Shahayu misaskim be'etos imalcheihem al Yisrael, because they came up with all kinds of plans with their kings against Israel. They were trying to fight Knesset Yisrael, meaning us, the people. V'lo hayu yodin she'esh lehem patron b'shamayim, but don't they know, says Gog and Magog, in the future before the Messianic age, that you shouldn't fight against Israel, you should fight against their protector in heaven. So ani eini osechein. So before the Messiah comes, and there will be a great cataclysmic war, and the whole world will be taken over. We read about on Sukkot. By the way, Rav Shamsham Follow Hirsch, who focuses very much on Shorashim, points out something fantastic. We read about it on Sukkot when we sit under the shade of the sukkah, and the sukkah has a roof, a thatched roof, a roof from live plants. Gog is the word gag. It means roof. Because they think that there's a limit to how far a person can go in this world. But we know we can break all parameters. Amazing. Our first focus is very much on Shorashim. That's just an aside. That's not the point of Shir tonight. Okay, so Gog and Magog are going to say, you're all fools. You don't know that they have a protector in heaven. So I'm not going to fight the people. Ela hareini mizdaveg im patronan tachila. You know who I'm going to fight? I'm going to fight against their God first. And after I destroy kaviyachas, if such a thing were possible, their God, then ani mizdaveigoham, then I will come and destroy the people. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says in Tehillim. So to make sure to translate this correctly for you, yisyatzvu Tehillim perek beis pasuk beis yisyatzvu malchei aretz. You could see it right here on my screen. The kings of the earth will stand up. V'roznim nosodu yachad. And princes will conspire secretly. This is the art school translation of this pasuk. Who will they conspire against? Al Hashem, va'al Mashicho. So in the end of days, the enemy will realize, you know, it's not working to fight against Knesset Israel. No matter what we try, inexplicably, these people survive. How could they still be here? How could you have a state of Israel today? How could you have Torah today? How could we have Zoom Shirim around the world? How could we have millions of Jews coming back to their father in heaven after the Holocaust? It shouldn't be. So we must be doing the wrong thing, the enemies would say. No wonder Cain was a fool, and Esau was a fool, and Paro was a fool, and Haman was a shoter. They're fighting the wrong enemy. I'm going to fight God. The king of the worlds, the kings of the world will get together, led by Gog, and the princes will gather as one against God and his Messiah. Very, very powerful. Again, this is Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:23. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha, li ata bal hizdaveg. And God says in the future, you are such a wicked person. Seriously? Against me, li, ata, bali, zdaveg, do you think you're a match for me? Zivug is a match. Do you think you're a match for me? God's going to say, I protected my people through the whole millennia of galus. Pakol yivkol elokim etchem ba'alisam esatzmos ha'mizeh. You're going to get out of here. And take my bones, because this is in our destiny, galus. An imami, my grandfather, Allah v'shalom, wrote Yitzchak ben Moshe in his Holocaust memoirs, where they on the barracks at the end of a day of slave labor. Vayavidu vayimaru es chayehem, b'avoda kasha, b'chomer, b'leit v'inib, v'chol avoda sher avdu b'hem b'farech. My grandfather wrote in his memoirs, we lay on the barracks at night. And we spoke continuously about the murderers, that they were sent by God. My grandfather writes this, that the murderers were sent by God. His daughter, Devorah, was born in 19. He got married in 39 in Poland. And his daughter, Devorah, was born in 1941. Parshas Peshach, he writes, we named her after the Haftorah. He went to Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, my grandfather. He says, we lay on the barracks, his piece is called, in 7 camps in 3 years. We talked continuously about the murderers. We said they were sent by God. And we said, quote, it was written in Yiddish. My mother had it professionally translated for us into English. Whoever survives this hell will live to see a Jewish state, he wrote. Whoever survives this hell, again, it was written in Yiddish, so it must have said Gehenna, will live to see Mashiach. And God says to Gog and Magog, I protected my people through all the millennia, through the Esavs and the Paros and the Hamans and the Nazis and the Arab terrorists. Li ata bali hizdaveg, you're going to fight against me? Perek Aleph is the prototype in Sefer Shmos of all our Shibbutz. They're coming to fight against me, says God. Really? Kame gedudim yesh lefanai. Where do we have the word gedudim? God. A troop will troop forth from God. You know how many troops I have before me, says God? Kame berakim. How many bolts of lightning? Kame ra'amim. What's ra'amim? I'm going to tell you in a minute. I prepared this, but I don't remember everything. How many thunderclaps I have? Kahahi diktiv, like the pasuk says, Vayerim Hashem bekol gadol. God shook them up with a great sound. Vekama srafim, heavenly beings, celestial angels. Vekama malachim, how many angels I have. And despite all the troops that I have, and the thunder and the lightning claps, and the srafim and the malachim, ela givurasi teitze v'nechames imach. At the end of days, says God, I in my glory, I in my strength, givurasi, in my gevura, I will come out and I will fight with you. As the Pasuk says, V'yatza Hashem v'nilcha b'goyim ha'im. And God, as the Pasuk in Zechariah, will come out and fight those nations on the day that will be close. Ma kasiv taman. And what does the Pasuk say? Quoting Zechariah, Perek Yudala, Pasuk Tes. V'haya Hashem l'melech akol ha'aretz. We know that in the end of days, God will truly be the king over the whole earth. And so, yes, here we have the prototype laid out for us of Shibud Mitzrayim, of the Egyptian enslavement, of the enemy attempt to destroy Am Yisrael, from pharaonic Egypt and infanticide then, to the Churban Europa, to the Fogel family massacre, Rachmana Litzlan. They've been trying in every generation. It doesn't work. Because God says, do you think you're going to fight against me? And in the ultimate war of Gog and Magog, the ceiling will be smashed, and God in his glory will fight our battle. And the Medrash concludes and says, V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. And b'yom ha'hu, yeah, Hashem echad u'shmo echad. I thank Rabbi Shabtai for inviting me to give a shir. I thank all of you for learning with me. Enjoy the rest of the evening's program. Kol tov and besuras tovus to all. Thank